I dag skal vi ta en prat med noen som kommer fra Forst I Fals. Og dette blir hyggelig, Tom, fordi at jeg på vei til Frankrike. Og så da får du ta dette her alene, men det tror jeg du kommer til å greie ganske fint, for dette hyggelige folk.
Det høres ut som du mente det kom til å bli hyggelig fordi du reiste bort, men det har vært veldig hyggelig å ha deg med. Altså.
Så jeg veldig glad I Mosbacher og alt som har med Forst og altså verdensmestermerende debut. Så det egentlig ganske fint at jeg ikke med. For ellers hadde dere bare hørt på meg prate om hva jeg har opplevd.
Ja, men nå har vi egentlig hørt nok fra deg, så da stikker vel du til Frankrike da.
Jeg drar til Rondalen. Ha det bra!
Ja, da har Kjell Gabriel, han har reist han. Han dro til Frankrike, og Obian koser seg der. Og det går helt fint, fordi nå har jeg fått med meg Sabine og Jørgen fra Mosbacher, fra George Mosbacher, Estate. De lager rislinger, og nå skal vi straks høre hvordan det går. And welcome to you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
You have been on the Norwegian market for since 2004, as I can recall. And how is that development been going, Sabine?
So for us, Norway was and still is the biggest market, the second biggest market we have. So it's Germany and then it's Norway. So quite a lot of our wines are going now to Norway. And it was a wonderful development. It started 2004 with the Riesling Trocken at the Monopoly. And it developed wonderful, and we are nowadays listed in the basic assortment, which is great, and it's available everywhere. For example, I can tell a short story. So my sister was at the Lofoten Islands in January, and they had problems with the car, and they had to thank somebody for the help. And she went into the shop at the Lofoten Islands, and she got the wine of the family. This was wonderful.
That's perfect. It's like an all-over brand. And Jürgen, but you told me before that you're located in Fals, which is quite known in Norway for the Rieslings. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about being one of many wines from Fals and still doing so good in Norway?
Yeah, we have a lot of good colleagues in the neighborhood in Pfalz. And Pfalz, by the way, is the biggest wine-growing region, the second biggest wine-growing region, and the biggest Riesling-growing region in the world. So this is also an obligation for us to present the best Riesling we are producing. And our village or a small town in Forst, where we are located, is one of the center, the heart, I would say, of the Riesling production in the Pfalz. It's nice to see a lot of different Pfalz Rieslings here on the Norwegian market. But mainly for us, it's very important to bring our own wine from our own grapes, from our own vineyards to Norway. And therefore, it's a state bottled Riesling we have. And it's very important also signed by the eagle of the VDP membership. So this is also very important to show our members in the elite club of German wine production.
And you're growing your own grapes. That's very important for you to take care of the heritage of your grapes.
Yeah, so for us it's important to look for the good vineyard sites. So we enlarge the winery in the last 30 years since we both doing this. This is important, the vineyard land, and really what is important also for the future to look for good conditions. And we decided 15 years ago to go in direction organic production, and this was the consequent step, having the control over the whole thing.
So caring for the land is as important for you as the end product.
Yeah, for sure. You have to look for the right conditions for Riesling plantings. So we look for the different soils. So we have three soil types, which is sandstone, limestone, and basalt in our village. And this gives these are very good conditions for Riesling.
How many wines or bottles or what's your range? Because you're producing quite a extended range, as I understand.
So we have around 24 hectares, This is a medium-sized family-run winery, and you can calculate with 5,000 wines per hectare. And so there's a huge amount of wines we have, and each wine will bring us one bottle or, let's say, 1 liter of wine every year. And so you see, we have in the finish, it's about 150 to 160,000 bottles we have.
But we're not talking about only one type of Riesling wine. You have a variety.
We have a very big variety. As Sabine mentioned, we are located in Forst and also close to Deidesheim and Wachenheim. And the special area is separated in different vineyard plots. And they have a very high value and a good historic background. So they are still existing, even if there was a lot of changes in the last centuries.
When I listen to you, you come back to the family word a lot. That of course you're a couple running a wine business, and you have a heritage going 200 years back in wine growing.
Yes, there was a wine growing for more than 200 years in the family, and it was my grandfather who started in 1921 the first bottlings. Before that, it was not that common really to produce wine and bottle by himself, and he took the chance in 1921 to do first bottlings.
So the wine brand, Georg Musbacher, has been around for approximately 100 years. But who was Georg Musbacher?
This Georg Musbacher was my grandfather. So my grandfather had two sisters, and he started the first bottlings on the name of his parents, of his father. So the name in the beginning was Georg Musbacher Erben.
The heritage.
Yes, the heritage. Yeah. And we, our philosophy is really to keep this name as the brand of the winery, even if my father was a Rigid and I am a Sabina. So we really keep the name of my grandfather.
Did you grow up knowing that you're going to be a winemaker, or how do you get into the winemaker business? I mean, as a girl, maybe you would do something else, or
yeah, maybe it was not clear from the very beginning, because I'm the oldest of three daughters of my parents, and more than 30 years ago, it was not that common that a girl will take over an agricultural business. A winery is agricultural. So there was a slightly pressure from my father, because I was interested in science. I was thinking about studying chemistry or pharmacy. And then it was the pressure a little bit, Sabine, look, winemaking is a lot of botanic, it's a lot of chemistry, you need to know about fermentation and things like that. And maybe I really decided then to study viticulture and enology, and I'm very happy with this, because it's a lot of science you have to know for this job.
A bit of parental persuasion there for getting you in, and you just went along with it. Did you know what you were getting into when you entered the business?
My family is also was also involved in the wine business as producers of grapes, but in the more southern part of Germany, in Baden. So I come from the Kaiserstuhl, which is more Pinot country, not quite Riesling country, because it's a little bit warmer than the Pfalz, and so it's better adapted to the Pinot Noir or Pinot Blanc varieties. But for me, it was clear that I want to do something in the wine business and wine industry, and I also was in Geisenheim to study, and this was a good challenge.
But you're still together, so yes. Okay, we're going to taste your premium wine here in Norway, or the wine that's been the longest at the wine monopoly, and you've been with the same importer. Selling wine through the wine monopoly since 2004 for this particular wine, and what sort of difference this wine we're going to taste from all the other not all the other, but most of the others, the Rieslings from Pfalz, do you think?
I always say this Riesling Trocken is a little bit like our business card, like our general philosophy. It shows our thinking about Riesling Trocken. And I'm really proud that we can produce it from our own grapes and our own vineyards, because this is the straight and clear philosophy.
And there we got a very nice sound of the screw cap going off, and I can't wait. So, what can you tell me? What I'm supposed to feel or smell, or what would you prefer to describe it when I put my nose in a glass, Sabine?
So it's a very clear and fruity taste, fruity nose you have. It's always a little bit direction citrus and apple, very fresh.
It is indeed very fresh on the nose, and the citrus is so in place. And do you have a strategy when you are making this wine, or is it just fell into place when you start vinification?
Yeah, as Sabine mentioned before, we have different kind of soils, and for us the main soil is the sandstone. And Riesling is a variety which does not like to have wet and cold feet. So sandstone is a very light soil, and it's reheating very fast and easily. So the wines from sandstone are normally well balanced, and they have a very round acidity. So this is also nice to have a real dry style wine which is balanced. So normally Riesling is a very more light character. And but with this estate wine, we also have some possibilities of getting more, a little bit more volume, and getting very mouth filling wine.
I'm very happy you said mouth filling, because I just had a sip, and the acidity here is to my palate perfect. It's so there, and it's coming up and saying hello. How would you do? And it's mouth-watering to the sense that I'm start to crave something to eat, maybe some cured ham or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect wine and for food, and therefore it's maybe also the secret of his success here in the Norwegian market.
Yeah, because I think Norwegians have get their eyes open for Riesling as a phenomenon on the special and seafood table, but also maybe with our traditional Norwegian dishes like cured ham or more potent, more fatty stuff, because the acidity and the citrus will wash your palate clean after. Do you think about the use when you start the vinification? Do you think of what people are going to use this wine for?
So we really select grapes from certain vineyards for this, and we really look, as my husband told, to have a balance of different. Maybe we pick some vineyards earlier and some later, so to have really to get in the final result. And we do this since a few years, so we know what to do. We do really harvest different plots, so to get different stage of grapes. So we are sure to have a balanced result.
When people look at the white wine in general in Norway, they are thinking about, after my experience, thinking about sun, sitting on the terrace maybe, sipping. How do you prefer to have your wine in Germany? Do you have any places you like to sit and drink it, or do you have any particular favorite things to do while you're enjoying the wine?
So I think this it's a wonderful wine sitting really outside on the terrace when there is sunshine, and maybe you could use it in very different occasions as an aperitif and as well for food, for seafood or everything. And it's really very light and refreshing, but still you have the acidity and an aftertaste. For me, it's a very, very round and complex wine.
So this is, of course, your major brand here in Norway, but do you have any other favorites? Or you have a special wine child that you are especially fond of?
Every time when we are here in Norway, and take part at some Riesling fairs. Everybody is come and talking about Ungeheuer. So this Ungeheuer is one of the very known names over here now. And this is a special sale just for a very short moment. And so people running and try to get a bottle or at least maybe two. And so I think Ungeheuer is maybe one of the wine which shows our potential also in high quality wines. So people like to have the Gutswein for every day and for special occasions, which could be a lot days in the year. Could it be a Ungeheuer?
So if you're listening to this and wondering what you should look at to elevate your Riesling palate, Ungeheuer is the thing to look for.
Yeah, Ungeheuer is the other end of our production. It's a very special vineyard, which is just close behind our winery. So it's really on the focus every day, every hour. And Ungeheuer is also a name which is very remarkable for other people.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to remember, I think. Okay, you guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm so happy that you would introduce me for your excellent Riesling here. And for you guys out there listening, the price is not too bad. I'm coming back to that later, but just want to say thank you very much for attending, and I'm looking forward to taste more of your other wines later.
Well, the best way will be to come and visit Forst, and I will show you all the wonderful vineyards we have.
Yeah, of course. It's not uncommon to go to Pfalz, and if you go there, just drop by the Mosbacher winery. Ja, da har vi hatt en liten smakesesjon her i Drinkfeed og for så vidt Kjells vinkjeller, selv om Kjell sitter og drikker vin i Frankrike nå. Georg Mosbacher, dere, entry-level vin, kjempelett å få tak i, og 174,90 for en flaske med en enormt bra syre. Det kan jeg bare skrive det på. Så da runder vi herfra, og så må dere ta vare på det selv. Jeg heter Tom Amrati Løvås fra Drinkfeed, og introen så hørte dere Kjell Gabriel Henriks fra Kjellsvin.